Associate Professor Susan St. John is with us as the debate grows over whether our country should raise the pension age in line with life expectancy and the impact that could have on equity. Susan, thank you so much for joining us once again. Tēnā koe.
Good morning.
Thank you. What are your main concerns about linking the pension age to life expectancy, Susan?
Oh, it's a bit of a non-issue, actually, Dale. Anybody who's suggesting raising the age is having to talk about it starting about 10 years out. It's not today's issue. It's not actually going to solve what's wrong. And if, for example, somebody did come in and say, look, we're going to raise the age immediately, there would be such enormous outcry from people who simply can't keep working to support themselves past the age of 65. So the life expectancy thing is being put up as a kind of a rationale or an excuse for talking about raising the age. But raising the age is always going to affect those with lower life expectancies more than those with higher life expectancies.
Yes, and of course many different ethnicities, Māori in particular too, coming up shy in those life expectancy stats, maybe 4, sometimes 5 years earlier. Our people are dying for reasons that are complex but do need to be worked through, Susan. It's 67
they
in
do.
Australia.
Yes.
But already we know that many whānau who have paid tax all their lives never get a chance to realise that pension. And let's also be reminded too that the pension's not the be-all and end-all, because difficult to live on it, as you'd attest, Susan, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly. So we really should be concentrating on what the real issues are, which, as you say, include the fact that many people just can't make ends meet on the existing pension. And there's problems with housing. And there's problems with fuel and lack of access to health care. There's the major things that today we should be talking about. Sometime in the future, 10, 20 years in the future, things might be different, and maybe raising the age a little bit makes sense. But at the moment, it seems like it's a red herring. It's taking us away from the things that we should be talking about. And when I look at New Zealand Super and I see that the real issue is that we're paying a lot of money to people who are working full-time and well-paid jobs at 65 and many who have substantial assets and wealth, at the same time as we are not looking after those that come into retirement with very, very little. Now, if that is the issue, raising the age is a very blunt instrument to address it. It doesn't actually affect anybody who's currently retired, raising the age. It happens sometime in the future. It just doesn't address the fact that it is today, that there is perceived inequity, that the young people are looking at the old and saying, look, you know, you're being treated much better than I can expect to be treated. And it's just not a healthy situation.
It's not just the life expectancy issue too. You'll be aware, Susan, that the Māori population is youthful, and as we see more and more of our earning kaimahi moving offshore, for instance, because of the state of the New Zealand economy and other matters, onus of earning the bucks, so to speak, for New Zealand falls on our young people. But here we are ignoring their start in their working lives.
Exactly.
And we're not putting as much impetus or support to get them working so that they eventually will be those taxpayers who fund the superannuation needed in the years ahead. Means tested sits uncomfortably as a term, but it does, to me, make some sense. Not that it matters what I think, but you've suggested taxing wealthier superannuants more. How could that work as an alternative to raising the age pension?
Okay, yes. Well, what we do at the moment, and people largely don't understand this, is that we already take back through the tax system more from those on higher incomes. So it depends what your marginal tax rate is. If you're on the very top tax rate, 39%, then you're paying a lot more of your New Zealand Super back than somebody who hasn't got any other income. In fact, the ratio of what the highest earner gets to the lowest is about 70%. So only 70% of what the lowest get at the top end. So the idea could be that we tweak that a bit so that the tax scale itself does the work of reducing the amount that we're paying at the very top end. And if we did it as we've suggested, we've modelled it and so on, what you would find is that a lot of those people in full-time work, they wouldn't opt in at 65, they would wait. It would always be there for them. We're not saying it's not there as a cushion if they need it, but it wouldn't be worth their while to opt in because they'd end up with probably fairly little or nothing by the time that extra tax scale had kicked in. Does that make sense?
Well, it does to me, and there's also the moral opportunity for those who don't need the pension, as Ian Taylor has advocated, to slide, I think it's just 1% of your earn back into a pool to assist those who have it. Yes. Sadly, there's not a lot of, well, I mean, there is some uptake. I don't want to suggest there's not. But more certainly could be done. With cost of living pressures already hitting older people, Susan, is now the wrong time to be even considering changes like this?
Wrong time to be considering changes like increased taxes at the top end for super? Are you questioning that? Because that is actually something that could be brought in relatively quickly. And if that extra revenue, $2 to $3 billion, at least could be redirected into making things like the accommodation supplement better for older people, fix up working for families for younger people, be more generous around the student loans. It could do some real good. And as you say, be an investment in the young too, that is so critical for an ageing population. And let's not forget too, that people who at 65 do have the pension to live on, can do all sorts of other very valuable work and do. So that younger cohort can be involved in providing support for the younger generation when the parents go out to work and for looking after older folk and supporting all sorts of voluntary activities, helping social cohesion. So we mustn't downplay either the contribution that many in the early years of retirement make, which is very valuable.
Tēnā koe, both you and I have witnessed this discussion surfacing over the years about raising the pension age. I guess we shouldn't be surprised that in an election year it is raised as a potential issue, but it doesn't seem to have wide cross-party support. And I, for one, I'm not supportive of it in the way it's proposed, and I guess you aren't either. But nevertheless, Susan, I guess we can expect the issue to raise itself again. Is there some urgency here, do you think?
Well, the urgency is to do something about redirecting the top end of New Zealand Super into where it's really needed. That's the urgent thing. Raising the age maybe 10, 20 years, it might make sense, depending on what happens. I mean, people might live a bit longer, but they might live it in poorer health. It's not necessarily going to mean that just because life expectancy increases that people are necessarily going to be fit and well and able to work full-time to support themselves at 65 for another couple of years. And so, and when, of course, you've got the problem that people can't support themselves, you've got to keep the benefit system going for them. All sorts of other costs will be incurred. So it's not a magic bullet that generates the pot of money that would make everybody happy.
Tēnā koe, we're living in very difficult times. I think
yes,
everyone
are.
Would agree with that. And you know, some lucky enough to have sort of come closer to the end than the beginning of our working lives. Susan, how real is your commitment to the needs of our young people, and how important do you think wider New Zealand, the Pakeke, the older generation, how important should it be for all of us collectively?
It should be top of our list of things. And it's very distressing to see the cutbacks and all sorts of programs recently that affect the well-being of the young, and how we don't support them into the universities or tertiary education. We cut of the things that really should be viewed as an investment in the older generation, because they're going to be so dependent on the health and the willingness of those young people to stay in New Zealand.
Sadly, we've seen so many opting to have a go elsewhere, but the good ones stay. You, me, and everyone listening today. We've got a beautiful land. It's got some problems, yeah, okay. Sure, but you know, we're a resilient mob, and you know, we wish the best for those who follow in our footsteps. I think that's something we all share. Associate Professor Susan St. John, economist, and also a very principled wahine, has worked tirelessly over the years for the rights of others. I always enjoy hearing from you, Susan. Thanks again for sharing some thoughts with us today.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. Pleasure. Thank you, Susan.